What's up, Mets fans? Welcome to episode 7 of SNY.TV's Meet the Mets cast. Rob is out. No need to send security to his house to check in on him. I promise it's an excused absence. He's not been suspended, but he should be back next week. He was taking a very nice trip, and so we're really happy for him and hopefully he gets back next week. I'm Matt Cerrone. I'm not feeling well, so please be patient if I sound a little garbled and I'm coughing, but I'm doing my best, and I'm here with world traveler, comedian Steve Hofstetter. Steve, how's it going? How was your trip?
It was great. It was I sported my Mets colors all over Australia, and I saw one other guy with a Mets hat, and I was very excited.
Very cool. I love when that happens when you're out and about like that. Quick programming note: this show will be available as part of the SNY.TV Mets podcast feed. So search for SNY Mets in the iPhone podcast app or whatever app you use to listen to your podcast, and definitely subscribe to the feed if you haven't already. Rate and review the show. Drop us a line. Let us know how we're doing. We always appreciate that kind of feedback. So just real quick before we get into the show, we should address a little bit and talk a little bit about Yuris Familia, who. We'll know more about his situation probably later today on Friday, so we don't want to get too far into it. But for people who don't know, he was diagnosed, I guess, with an arterial clot in his right shoulder, and he's visiting a doctor. It's just amazing, you know, to see if he'll have surgery. It's amazing to me the variety of extreme injuries and extreme medical situations that has revolved around this team this year. It's been really remarkable. I mean, I don't know, Steve, what's the next thing? You want to make a prediction on the next thing that's going to hit somebody? It's crazy.
Well, you've got pneumonia, so it's, you know, that's the right. New York Mets, where even our podcasters are injured.
Jeez, I didn't even think about that. It's a good point.
Yeah, it's one of these things where, like, last year so many people were hurt, and in spring training, I remember thinking, like, man, everybody seems healthy. Everybody looks great. This is going to be amazing. You know, we thought it was going to be good last year, but this is going to be the year. And then everybody else was like, nope. No, as it turns out, it's not. And right. At this point, like, remember when our biggest problems were that we had too many outfielders and too many starting pitchers? And mm-hmm. Now we are claiming starting pitchers off of waivers? Like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, and starting them 3 days later. It's remarkable. And you know, it's things like thoracic outlet syndrome and arterial clots and, you know, all these kind of things where, you know, we're so used to just like, you know, oh, he's got a sore elbow. You know, these other things are a big deal. And, you know, it's really hard to sort of plan around it and predict. I mean, from the reality of it is you can't, like I said, you can't predict for it. You can't plan for this sort of thing. So like how they recover and how they handle it, it's going to be a crazy summer. They're going to have to make moves at the deadline. So like, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to play out. I mean, I wish him the best of luck as like a guy, right, with a family, because that's a big deal. And then at the same time, they need a closer now, maybe.
Well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how, you know, Addison does. I mean, he's been in that role before, and he was stellar. Yeah, he was stellar as a reliever last year. He was one of the top five in the league. And so it'll be interesting to watch him step into that role, with the exception of, I think, two. He had two outings that weren't great, and aside from that, everything was fantastic. You know, he was like, shut him down or, you know, give up two or three runs. Yep. So it's hard to see if you just look at the average stats. But I'm looking forward to finding out which player has polio. You know, maybe one has plague. I'm not sure. It's exciting. They're going to bring back diseases that we've lost just to
– I would not be surprised at this point. Wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we should discuss, obviously, is the Matt Harvey. And, you know, it's such a touchy thing because, again, it's a similar situation. It's there, you know, he's got as a man, as a guy, as a young guy trying to make his way through his career. You know, you want him to be successful. Obviously, as a Mets fan, I want him to be successful on field. You know, I want him to be happy in his own life and everything that's going on. He looks bummed and he looks dissatisfied with whatever is happening. And like, I hope he gets it together. You know, again, on field, they need him. They need him to be a really good pitcher. He doesn't have to be the Dark Knight and be, you know, starting the All-Star game again, but just he's got to be really good. Like, they need that right now, given the other injuries, and he hasn't been. So to me, like, that's what it comes down to. But the story surrounding him is going to be hard to escape in New York. And, you know, I mean, what's your take on just sort of how things have kind of around him and how he kind of navigates his way through that nonsense?
Well, first of all, In 2015, toward the beginning of 2015, I was talking about how the Mets should trade him. Mm. And not a get rid of him, but a this is going to be the maximum value right now. Like, he's come back from surgery. He's proven he's good. He, you know, you're not going to be able to re-sign all of them. And so, like, trade him while you can. And that is something that I stuck by, and people told me I was crazy for saying. But, you know, I guess now history has vindicated me. I agree with you that I very much hope the best for him as a player and as a person. And one of the things that bothered me with this whole situation is the amount of baseless speculation in the media, the amount of people who are just like, well, here's what we think happened, even though we have no verification at all, and we're going to print these words as if they're true. And, like, those people are just as bad at their job as someone who doesn't show up for their job. So I think we need to have a whole bunch of stories about, you know, which writers might have, you know, substance abuse problems, or which writers might have had their heart broken by their girlfriend, or which, I mean, it's so ridiculous. Like, he's a human being, and we sometimes we forget that.
Well, they don't call him tabloids for nothing, you know?
Yeah. Well, the unfortunate part is that some of them were also from non-tabloids. So
yeah,
and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the nature of the talking type, you know, like they got to talk about something. You see in politics, you see it everywhere. It's just, you know, you got to push the peanut, you know, and it's unfortunate because I agree. It's unfortunate in the sense that, like, you know, they have to the individual has to deal with it, and it doesn't help in whatever is happening, or even, you know, even if he's just having a hard time on the field and it's just, you know, he's bummed about it, like, whatever the reason, it doesn't make getting over it any better. So, like, as fans, for me as a fan, it just bothers him in that regard. It's like, I wish everybody would just shut up and, like, just let him be real, let him focus on his baseball career and, like, get better. Cause, you know, I miss what, look, I loved watching this kid take the mound and, like, be dominant and, you know, be the pitcher that he was. It was fun to watch, period, end of story. Like, it was fun, and it hasn't been fun, and I kind of miss, you know, Harvey Day.
Oh, I absolutely miss Harvey Day. But also, I mean, it's a little unrelated, but did you see what Stephen A. Smith said about James Harden, about how, like, his poor performance was because someone probably slipped something into his drink? Look, my thoughts about Stephen
that's just
A.
making things,
are well documented. And but I will say, like, what an irresponsible, disgusting thing. And that's the type of stuff that comes out sometimes. You saw that happen when Harvey had that, you know, that bizarre infection last year.
Yes, that was awful. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, and everybody just assumed it was because of that. And then, I mean, not only that, I mean, the first like 24 hours of the news cycle when Harvey got suspended was that it, you know, that it had to do with the, you know, putting the sex toy in Plawecki's locker.
Right.
And so,
right.
And that had nothing to do with it. And so it's just one of these things. It's like, guys, I know that you need to be first with the story, but, like, that doesn't mean you need to be first with the nothing. It means you need to be first with the story, and being first with the nothing doesn't win you anything.
Well, it's the first with the facts too. And that's just the nature of our media. Like, it's tweet it, you know, and get it out there. And so, like, it puts all this stuff on the table, and then people put the puzzle together as they want, you know, and they make up their own story, basically. And, like, that's a flaw, I think, just in the way things get done. It's not the story. It's the nuts and bolts coming first, and then the story after the fact. But the fact is, like, he even said in his press conference, like, I was out late, I went golfing, he did these things. So, like, it's not – there's nothing inherently wrong with that. Like, that's the least – you know, I mean, again, we've talked about the 80s Mets. Like, that's nothing. So – it's inherently nothing wrong with it, but if he feels like there's something wrong with it, or he feels like there's something that he's doing that's, you know, hurting his performance on the field, then fine. That's great. Good. He wants to make changes in his life, whatever it might be. So be it. I mean, if it's going to help him on field. So, you know, what I would like to see him, and this is sort of a topic on the show here, which is better things for Harvey to do with his free time. To me, it's just focus on the game. You know, Terry Collins said it, like, his top priority needs to be baseball. I don't think Harvey would deny that. Based on his press conference, it sounds like he sort of agrees. I know a lot of the players agree. And, you know, that's his job. Like, that's how he makes his living, and that's how he makes his fame, is by doing this on field. So, you know, look, spend the next 6 months just 100% obsessed with that. Like, that to me is how you should be spending your free time, period. Like, you want to let out some steam, that's cool, but, you know, at the end of the day, it should be all about baseball.
I absolutely agree with you.
And there's really nothing else. And like, I think he knows that. Like, you could hear it in his voice. I like that he said, you know, I'm going to put things in place to make me a little bit more accountable to it. And look, everybody's got that self-awareness. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just in New York, when you say that out loud, like you just said before, everybody freaks out and turns that into something, which may or may not be accurate. But I applaud the self-awareness and the ability to, I mean, man, get out in front of all those people and say that, even to the limited degree that he said it, is a big deal. Like, that takes something. And so I think he's going to be okay.
I would recommend you be careful as applauding, because you might, like, tear a shoulder or something.
I'm holding back coughs as we speak.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's been a lot of things this year already. I feel like we've already played out 162-game season, given all the different ups and downs. So we thought it'd be a good idea to kind of go back and listen to some of the things that we've already said or alluded to or predicted, whether it was sort of in passing in the show or on, you know, part of a segment, to kind of go back and look at some of the stuff we said. So here's a clip from episode 5. I'm talking about Syndergaard's initial bicep issue and, you know, what would kind of come next. You know, now Syndergaard has an arm issue, which, you know, it could just be who knows what, and, like, you know, you get over it and we'll see what happens next start. Yeah, I really dealt with that very haphazardly, huh?
Yeah, what happened next start? I don't recall.
I don't know. Well, it was just a precipitous, slow demise into, you know, disappearing for 60 days, apparently. I still, when I look back on that, can't believe this sort of, you know, it was like every few days was like another little tiny bad story about it. And then next thing you know, oh, you know, and the worst part is they took 2 or 3 from the Nationals and nobody like even remembered it.
I actually do not. And I don't fault your take on that at all. I think that was perfectly appropriate.
Well, he's supposed to be made of steel. So,
yeah. Yeah. He was always the one that was indestructible.
Right.
You know, he was the one everybody else was on the DL and we're like, well, at least Syndergaard will be fine.
So here's another one from on Syndergaard from episode 6. I was talking about just sort of all the drama that was going on with it. They could play that one here. For us as fans, I feel like, you know, it's disappointing that he's not going to be there. I don't necessarily feel like he did anything, you know, if he did anything wrong, I think that he just wanted to pitch. Which, given the state of the team, like, I really can't fault him for that. Is it the right move in terms of his body and his career? Maybe not, but, like, I think it comes from a good place. It's not like he was out late partying or doing some crazy stuff and, like, you know, he's just slacking.
Ouch. You may as well have winked while you were saying that.
Yeah, I get the irony. Oh, well, let's move on from that one. I don't want to sort of essentially covered it. There's another one from episode 6. We're talking about what will happen first segment, which you've done a few times this year. And the question was, this is crazy. Who will pitch in a game first? Syndergaard, Mats, Lugo, or Adam Wilk?
All right. No explanation needed on this one. Just a pick. Your thoughts on who pitches in a major league game first? Steven Matz, Noah Syndergaard, Seth Lugo, or I don't know who wrote this, Adam Wilk.
Well, it was Wilk, which is for like a split second, right?
That was one where when they called him up, I was like, wait, what now?
Yeah exactly. Like,
I did not expect that. And then when he got claimed off waivers like immediately, I think everyone was like, okay, goodbye.
I know. That's really remarkable. You know, there's some guys you think – it's so funny how that works. I mean, it's such timing with other organizations. Like, the Twins needed the pitcher. So, but, like, any other time of year, like, he would not have been claimed. It's so crazy.
Yeah, so
good luck to Adam Wilk.
Yeah, I don't know much about the guy.
He does.
Yeah, I mean, I know that he's got a career war of -0.7, which is excellent. Much worse than mine.
Yep.
Mine is just even. So, technically, I am a statistically better ball player than him. So, I wish him the best.
So, if you recall, you know, the season started off great, and then it kind of went in the tank. And so, we were going back to episode 5 with this clip. You were talking about how happy everybody was in episode 2, that second show we did. We were all just joyful, and it was just a great time. And then you made a comment about, you know, a few episodes later about how it was like cleaning up after a party, knowing you're tired and getting in trouble. And we were just really, I mean, it just sounded terrible. So you know, but now they've won 8 of 12. So, like, who knows where things are going. So here, let's just go back and listen to how we were acting then.
How much happier were we on episode two?
Episode two. Oh, yeah.
Oh, we were just like, oh, this looks great. Everybody's happy. This is going to be amazing.
It was a party. Yeah.
And now, you know, this is like cleaning up after the party when you know you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, right. Like, we're still sort of telling stories about it, but you're tired. Just want to go to bed. I mean, it's true. It is a perfect analogy. You know, but the fact is, like, it's so crazy the way the season goes because, like, it feels so doom and gloom, and everybody, like, if you go on Twitter, you go, you know, and listen to talk radio or just the first 25 minutes, 20 minutes of this podcast we're doing, you'd think they were in last place and, like, 100 games under 500 and the season's over. And, like, yeah, they're one under, but they've won 8 of 12. And, like, they actually are playing pretty well. They're hitting pretty well, and they're not even fully healthy, and they're playing pretty well. So, I don't know. The disconnect.
Not even fully healthy. Like, I think their disabled list could win the NL East. Right, but you know, I think it's because the Mets have always been a sine curve, and they always will be. It is huge highs and tremendous lows. It's not like one of these beleaguered franchises where you never seem to catch a break like the Brewers. And, you know, it's not like one of these franchises where you're spoiled like the Yankees. It is something where, like, things are great and things are terrible. Now, usually those are in separate seasons. Like, the difference is that this season, it's like every day you wake up, the Mets, and I'm not just saying this because I'm in Tulsa right now, but the Mets season is like the weather in Oklahoma, where you just, it will be rainy and sunny and rainy and sunny, and that is all within an hour.
Interesting.
And that's what's happening right now to us. You wake up in the morning and you do not know what it's going to be like.
The good thing obviously as fans, we have a hard time, not a hard time dealing with that, but it's just, you know, that up and down is just, I guess, part of the DNA. For the players, it's not necessarily what they're used to historically, but this group should be over the last year or so. Like, it's been like this. So, like, you'd hope, and maybe that's why they're continuing to win and they kind of keep it together a little bit, and why they were able to do what they were able to do last year and fight through a similar situation. Maybe it's just par for the course. Like, I wonder if stability would be almost like more foreign at this point. I hate to say it.
Yeah, I mean, would I like a little bit of stability? Would I like a 2006 again, where it was wire to wire first place?
Sure.
Absolutely, I would love that. But at the same time, like, you expect, as a Mets fan, you expect everything from, what was it, Fernando? K-Rod had that fight on the bus. And,
yeah,
like,
just Players Lounge, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, the you know, everything from the craziness, the worst stuff, like the firework thing with Vince Coleman and the bleach with Brett Saberhagen, you know, to the ridiculous stuff, like getting, you know, Yoenis Cespedes and him being absolutely on fire for the next 2 months. I mean, there's these ups and downs are what make life interesting as a Met fan. There's never, ever a time where I'm bored. And when it comes down to it, baseball is entertainment, and they give us something to talk about always, and I appreciate that.
As someone who writes about the team every day, I completely agree with that. And I actually think over this next you know, month or so, I think they're going to be given the opportunity to play better baseball with some of these teams and playing on the road and stuff. So I think we're going to be in a better spot. I don't know if we'll go back to party days like we were in episode two, but I think we're going to have a little bit better time. So let's quick go to this last clip from episode five. It was really a depressing wrap where I kind of try and predict a little bit of what was to come. We'll be back again next week with hopefully, and I say this at the end of every podcast this last couple of weeks, you know, that they start winning and we have some fun stuff to talk about again. I don't think this is going to continue. I really think they're a better team than this. It's only 3 weeks ago. We all had them in the World Series again. So, like, I think they'll get back to that. Well, there you go. I said the same thing. First of all, I had so much more energy in that show, I have to say.
Well, you are dying right now, Matt. I mean, like, that's you're close to death.
I miss that guy. I hope he's back next week. I felt that way then. I feel that way now. You know, the schedule just works, I think, a little bit. I don't think people realize playing the same teams like that for essentially 2 months, because they, you know, you play the NL East for a month there And they also play those teams nonstop during spring training. So, like, you've seen – it's just the same thing over and over. And I feel like getting out on the road, you know, these couple – you know, and seeing some other pitchers, some other stuff, it just kind of freshens you up a little bit. There's better weather, frankly. The weather in, you know, around here through April was brutal. At Citi Field, it's always rough. So, like, I don't know. I just think they're going to have a better spot.
We spent so much time playing the NL East to open this season that, like, when they were playing the Giants, I was like, oh, right. There are other teams. Yeah, I completely forgot. How come we're not playing the Nationals again or the Braves again?
It was like the start of last year. Like, I felt like all we did was talk about the Royals for 6 months, you know, because like they ended the season, obviously, in the World Series. And then they started the year against the Royals. It was like, all right, enough of the Royals. Like, it's enough.
Yeah. Well, I am going to be in Kansas City on Sunday, proudly wearing my Mets shirt. And I think it's fine because the Royals are terrible now. So no one will really care.
So I'm going to revisit another segment we've done before, which is I didn't know he was a Met. We'll keep this short because, well, their tenures were short, the first one, which is Justin Ruggiano, who we got to see again this past weekend with the Giants. So he was like Terry Collins' favorite, favorite guy.
I always liked him. Yeah, I definitely knew he was a Met. I disagreed with that choice, you know, when we're talking about it. I was like, no, of course, that was like, and it just happened. Yeah. So, like, how do you, I think the guys that you go, oh, right, he was a Met, are the guys from, like, a little while ago where, you know, in your mind you filed them with another team. You know, but the guy's that close. I mean, you know, I remember Ruggiano.
When I hear his name, I just think of Terry because it was like every time Justin Ruggiano poked his head into the clubhouse, he was in the starting lineup. It was like a leadoff, center field, like, you're the man, you're our savior. And, like, you know, if you remember that first, like, I think it was his first game he hit. I don't know if he had two home runs. He definitely hit a home run.
I think his first game back from the DL, he also hit a home run. It was one of these things where, like, he couldn't stay healthy for more than 2 days, but then he would come back and he would be great, and then he'd be gone again.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There you go, dude. He is the definition of what you're talking about, which is he comes back from the DL, hits a home run, and then immediately goes back on the DL. There it is, up and down, boom, boom.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have entries. I did not submit them ahead of time because I wanted your genuine reaction. I forgot they were a Met, or I didn't know they were a Met. Both Sandy Alomars, junior and senior.
Senior. Oh, well, senior was the coach.
No, senior was on the Mets in
he
what
played?
60s? I think so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, wasn't born yet.
Yeah, I wasn't born yet either, but just but that's the reaction I want. The idea of like someone you have absolutely heard of and going, wait, he played?
I remember as the kid was a big deal. He had a huge role with the Mets.
In 1967, he played 15 games for the Mets.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, here's our other one. Tell me if this guy was a Met. If you weren't paying attention, you may have missed it. Tommy Malone.
Yeah, as it turns out, he is right now, right?
He is right now, yeah. That's right. And he's going to probably be for a while because who knows what's going on with the rotation. And I actually didn't think he pitched that bad. What did you make of his start? Did you watch it?
I didn't get to watch it because I was traveling. But, you know, I read about it afterward. It wasn't stellar. It wasn't bad. It was serviceable. It was exactly what you'd expect from your 11th starter.
Who was with the Brewers last week.
Yeah, the idea that, like, I just remember at the beginning of this season just going like, well, you know, not only do we have our four horsemen back, but we have Wheeler back too. And not only do we have Wheeler, but what are we going to do with Gazelman? And what are we going to do with Lugo? I mean, we have so many. What do we do?
I had Wheeler in the bullpen, for Pete's sake. He's like their number two starter now. It's just remarkable. But, I mean, Malone looked fine. He looks like he could be, you know, what he is. He can... If he's got it together, everybody's going to think he's awesome. And then he's going to be the guy that was DFA'd by the Brewers, you know, like that's what's going to be. So, all right, cool. So, appreciate everybody listening. Once again, you can find us on SNY.TV Mets podcast feed. You can search for SNY Mets in the iPhone podcast app or whatever app you use or whatever they call it these days and listen to your podcast there. Thanks again for listening. Steve, what do you got going on this week? You go and travel anywhere, performing on the moon in Australia? Where are you this time?
So I'm in Tulsa right now, and then I'm going to go to KC. I'm going to go to Minneapolis, much like Adam Wilk, and then Madison, Wisconsin, and back over to L.A.
Awesome. I will be here coughing, recovering, hopefully getting better for next week. And we'll be joined hopefully again by Rob Brender. I'm Matt Throne, Steve Hofstetter. Thanks for listening. And again, as always, let's go Mets.